On Wednesday night, I gave a little hint about what we're going to be speaking about tonight. And remember from Wednesday, we were talking, we're preaching and studying in Psalm 119. And why is it when decisions are made for the Lord that sometimes we keep them? You know, some people, they make a commitment for the Lord. See the life of David. They make a commitment for God, and they make a decision in their heart, and they keep it. But then there are times when we come down the altar, we make a decision, a commitment to God, we don't keep it. What is happening in those situations? Remember how we learned in Psalm 119 how we should consider our ways. David considered his ways when he looked in the Word of God and he turned his feet to the right path. He made a decision. How did David keep those decisions? How did David have that heart that was after God's own heart? And he kept that through all of his life. And God gave him that testimony. And we live in a day that people, unfortunately, are very easily offended. You know, you can't look around and you see people, they're getting offended about something. They get offended that we have the American flag out, right? You see some neighborhoods, you've been seeing that in the news, that veterans, they have their American flag out there, but that doesn't go with the building code or the homeowners association code, and they're offended in Old Glory, our flag. Many people are offended in Christ and Christianity. They're offended by the Bible. They're offended about everything and everything. And one wrong look or a wrong word will cause people to be offended at us. Unfortunately, the one that many Christians, now we're talking about Christians now, they get offended, and followers of Christ get offended many times at Christ himself and the commands and the instruction of his word. And this account we're about to read in John chapter 6, beginning in verse 61, we're about to read tells us about just that. Now, Christ at this time in his ministry, this is the beginning of his ministry, he had many followers. He had many people coming after him. Many people had seen the miracles. Many people had heard his teachings. But now he is getting down to the purpose of his coming. He is coming down to the place where he is saying that he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. That there's no other way of salvation but through him. And people begin to get offended at this. But what happens when followers get offended and leave following Christ? Why does this happen? We're going to look at that tonight. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, John chapter 6, beginning at verse 61, going down through verse 67 tonight. And God's Word says, "And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." Now verse 66 is important. "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless your word tonight. Bless the preaching of your word. We pray that we would have hearts that wish to follow you and that we're not offended in you or offended in your doctrines, Lord, or offended in your word. I pray that you give me the words to say tonight and that you, dear Lord, would instruct us and guide us. We pray that you would guide and direct us tonight. We pray thy blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May you be seated. We live in a day where many people claim to be followers of Christ. They claim to follow after Jesus Christ. They claim to follow after his teachings. They claim to be a Christian. But when the going gets tough, when it comes to a part of the Bible, when it comes to a doctrine, when it comes to many times the way of salvation, which is what Jesus is speaking of in the earlier passage. The Jews believed in their way of works, and Jesus saying, no one can come to the Father but by me, and not so many words. He said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood earlier on, but he was giving a spiritual analogy, and they were concerned about this. And we look here, another verse that he says, I am verse 41, and the Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? So they were concerned. He was claiming to be God, for he was God. And they were becoming offended at that. They were thankful for him preaching about the kingdom of God. They were thankful for preaching about the Beatitudes. They were thankful for preaching. But then when it came down to his claim that he was the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God, they were offended at that. That their way of salvation wasn't going to work. That their way of works would not be the answer. But what do we see here in verse 67? Then said Jesus unto the 12, will he also go away? Now, why did the others go away? Because they were not committed to Christ. But we see in verse 68 something important. This is why we follow after God. This is why we're here tonight. I pray it is anyway. Verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Simon, Peter sums it up right there. To whom shall we go? You are the Son of God. You are the Christ, the Messiah. Who else are we going to go to? There is no one else but you. Is there anyone else but Jesus in your life tonight? That is why people get offended and walk away from the Lord, because Jesus is not their be-all and end-all. And we're going to look at some things tonight. Now, I'm going to ask some questions, three questions, sets of questions tonight, and a comparison question. Number one tonight, and that's the title of the message is, Are You Serious? Are you serious? And it's about serving God. Number one is acquaintance or master. Acquaintance or master. Now, many people are acquainted with God, acquainted with Jesus Christ. They know about Jesus. They know about him. The main reason why many decide not to follow him is because he is not their master. They are acquainted with Jesus. I mean, they're acquainted with salvation. Look at 2 Timothy 3:5. They're familiar with the way of salvation, but they've never trusted in it themselves. They're familiar. They're acquainted with that Jesus died on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. They know what the Bible says. But here, we find something here with those that turn away from God, those that have ulterior motives. Verse 5 of 2 Timothy 3, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, this talking about false teachers, and that they are acquainted with the way of salvation, but they have a form of godliness. They have a form of Christianity. They have a form of living that seems okay, but their godliness and their self-righteousness is not true salvation. It is not true salvation. And many people that say, we find, see people all the time in churches that they, when going gets tough in life, and by the way, life is tough at times. It is. There's no getting around that. There are hard things that happen in our life. And what do people do when hard times come? They say, it's God's fault. And some, they say, well, I didn't sign up for this. I expected to be smooth sailing. I expected things to go well. And they turn back from following after Christ. They are offended in him, for they feel that because they were following after Christ, that those bad things came. Now, persecution is going to come to those who follow after Christ. Those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's in 1 Timothy. That is a promise. You're going to encounter tough times. You're going to be faced with things. Are you going to compromise your stand? Are you going to stand with God and his word, or are you going to go your own way? Those are decisions that we're faced with. And those who are only acquainted with Jesus Christ are familiar with the doctrines, familiar with the Bible, but they're not committed to it. They've never come to Jesus Christ for salvation. They've never committed to the Bible. It's very easy for them to say, well, see you later. I'm not going to get out of church. I'm not going to go do that anymore. I'm going to go find something else that suits my fancy better. And that's what many did. Jesus was popular at that time. But then when he began to pinpoint people's hearts, and that they needed to trust in him for salvation, whoa, wasn't so popular anymore. Whoa, what do you mean we need salvation? Whoa, what do you mean we need to come only to you? What's wrong with us? Right? That happens in our soul winning. People say, well, I don't need that. I'm fine. Oh, that's man's pride. And they turn away from following after God. Some are familiar with the Bible. Look at John 1. Look over there, John chapter 1. A couple chapters away from where we were in John 6, John 1, beginning at verse number 1. A passage of Scripture we know very well. Read down through verse number 10. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the Word being Jesus Christ. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's a pretty affirmative statement that He's the Creator. Amen? Can't get around that. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness, what? Comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, and all men through him might believe. Verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was rejected. And some people maybe be familiar with the Bible, but they really don't accept it. This is the light of God, light of Jesus Christ, given to man. But they reject it. They reject it. They say, well, I believe some of it. You know, something, they know something, but nothing of a deeper relationship with God. You know what? Many run into trouble. Look at Acts chapter 19. These are people that were not genuinely saved. They were acquainted with God. They were acquainted with Jesus Christ, but he was not their master. They did not trust in him for salvation. Acts 19. Now we see some men that got into some trouble. They say, oh, we're Christians. We're saved. Acts 19, beginning of verse number 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought onto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord, to call over them with which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So we see seven men, seven sons of Sceva, and we know this account, and they weren't genuinely saved. They thought there was some mystical power in the name of Jesus, that they were exorcists. And that they believed they had this special power, and they used this, and they went to them and said, we conjure you by the name of Jesus whom Paul preacheth. I guess there's some special power in this name. And you know what? The devil said, I know Paul. Wow, imagine that. If that's a testimony there. The devils knew who he was. And the devils knew who Jesus Christ was. Remember, the devils that he cast out of the maniac of Gadara. You came trembling and said, are there to torment us before the time, knowing that they were to be sent forever to the bottomless pit in the lake of fire. Anybody cast them out. They know who Jesus Christ is. The devils believe and tremble, the Bible says. But these men weren't saved. And what happened? They had no power over that. The verse for them was not true. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Aren't we glad of that? But here, they ran into trouble. Don't we see that happens to people? They try and live a Christian life, and they say, well, I follow Christ, and I believe in Christ. But they've never trusted for salvation, and things fall flat in their life. And they said, well, I guess this is what it's all about. I mean, if this is what it's all about, I quit. I give up. And they're living in the flesh. They're unregenerate. They're lost. And they have no power to live a godly life. And they say, well, forget it. That's not for me. You don't see these men ever mentioned again. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? If you never trust Him as Savior, you can do that tonight. You can trust Him to forgive your sin. Trust in Him alone to save you from your sin. Is Jesus Christ your Master, your Teacher, your director of your life, or is he just an acquaintance of yours that you visit from time to time? That's why people turn back from following Christ, because they have not made a decision, a commitment to him. Many are not saved, but when they trust in Christ, even some that are saved, they're like, well, you know, that's not what I signed up for. But I believe many of those people, they aren't saved at all. Because when you come, as Peter said, well, look back at what Peter said, John chapter 6. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. If we truly have trust in Christ for salvation, we have that truth. We will be committed to Christ, because who else are we going to go to, knowing that he has the only answer? Salvation, I believe, trusting in Christ alone, that's a pretty big commitment, don't you? We're committing our eternal soul to the hands of Jesus Christ and his forgiving power and his shed blood. But we see so many. You know, back in the early church, in the centuries following the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven, there were those that would deny Christ, because in the Romans would give them a choice during persecution: proclaim that Caesar is God and deny Jesus Christ, and you'll live. You won't have to go to the gladiators. You won't have to go to the lions. And there were some that did it just to save their skins. And they would go back to church afterwards, and the church would not receive them. And said, if you were a true Christian, you would have never denied Jesus Christ. They would not allow him back into the church. And there was a great controversy about these Christians who had denied Christ. And eventually there was a great debate among this. And eventually there was a group that split off and said, well, we'll accept these people into our church. We'll accept them in, even though they denied Christ. And that split off and eventually became the Roman Catholic Church. But there was a high standard there. If you deny Christ, then you're not saved. That's, oh yeah, we are. We just, you know, Christ understands. What did Jesus say? If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. I think if we did that in churches today, people who deny Christ and say you're not allowed to come back into the church until you realize your need of salvation, I think our churches would get pretty small. We did the same thing today. A lot of churches, I think our churches get pretty small. Christianity is, unfortunately to some, a fad in America. It's not a fad, it's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that brings us to the second question. Is he friend or Lord? Friend or Lord? Now, it's true that Jesus is a friend to us. That is true. I don't want to diminish that part of his nature. He is. We sing that song, Jesus, friend of sinners. We understand that. However, when I'm speaking of friend, we're to be his friend, and Jesus will dwell with us when we accept his invitation. Look at Revelation chapter 3. What does he do? He stands at the door and knocks on our heart. He knocks on the door, asking admittance into our life and into our heart. Never forces himself on us. But Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Right here, we see that is a picture of salvation. He stands at the door and knocks. We open the door and he comes into our life, forgives our sin, and he is a part of our life. He is our friend and helper. However, what I'm talking about is bringing Jesus down to the level of just a friend. Bring him down to our level. Jesus is not to be just a friend. He is to be our Lord and Savior. He is Lord of all, King of kings and Lord of lords. Abraham was called the friend of God. Moses was called the friend of God. We are to be the friend of God in our relationship to him. But do we bring Jesus down? This is the contemporary movement today, to bring God down to our level. Oh, he was a human being, so he's just like us. No, he wasn't. He was perfect. He was high. He is holy, even when on this earth. He is, but isn't that amazing that the high and glorious King of all glory takes time for you and for me? He ever lives to make intercession for us before the throne of God. Amen. Do we have the view of him as high and holy, or as just someone who gives us advice from time to time? That's how some Christians view God. Well, I go to him for some advice whenever I need it, but I'm good on my own. And they don't see the urgency of the commands of Christ. They don't see the urgency that, well, as if now if I was here and I came up to you and, you know, we're buddies, right, with somebody. And I came up to you and said, hey, you know what? You need to do this here. I'm going to tell you, you need to do this. Like, oh, yeah, that's funny. Now, if I was a police officer and I walked up, now, this should be this way. It's not this way in America today, unfortunately, but it should be. And I say, hey, you need to do this. Yes, sir. Why? He has authority. A friend doesn't have authority in our life. Jesus has authority. Yes, he is our friend to us. He is a friend, but he's a king. And he is our Lord. Not just, he is not our buddy. People say, oh, Jesus is my buddy. That is a disrespectful and blasphemous way to refer to Jesus Christ. What place is he? Is he your Lord? Look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 22 and 23. Matthew 7. And there are some that would even say, oh, yes, he is. Is he really? Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's real easy to say that that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Real easy to say. You know, are we committed to God? Oh, yes, preacher, I'm committed. Now, let me ask you that. Let me ask you this. Would Jesus say that you are? We're not to go by our standard because, oh, well, I'm committed. Absolutely, I'm committed. What did Jesus say? Except thou hate father and mother, brother and sister, wife and children. Now, hate does not mean in the sense that we mean it. It means that they are of lower importance than Christ himself. It's except you do this. You cannot be my disciple. If you're going to let anything else get in the way of the relationship that we need to have, you can't follow me because you'll give up and quit. That is why we see people, and that's what we try to emphasize with people. Jesus is to be our be-all and end-all, our only relationship, first of all, and all the other relationships of life flow out of it. Duties never conflict. And we're not going to be the husband or wife or son or daughter that we're going to need to be, or parent or child, whatever it may be. We're not going to be until we make Christ first of all in our life. Until we put down, you can't be our disciple. You know, you can be a Christian and not be a disciple. Do you know that? You can be saved and not a disciple. You can be on your way to heaven but not a disciple. You can be on your way to heaven but not follow after Christ. So how is that? A Christian is one that is Christ-like, a little Christ. I venture this, you can be saved and not a Christian. You can have your souls cleansed from your sin, but not a Christian. Christian and disciple are synonymous terms. Can't be my disciple. Maybe you're on your way to heaven. But if you're not following Christ, you're not his disciple. Now, if you look at the mystical religions or you see the monks and things like that, there were those that they would be a leader and that those followers would be disciples of that person. They would hang on every single word that they spoke and would follow it to the letter because they believed in that person so much that they would even die for them. Do we believe so much in Jesus Christ and every word that he said, everything that he commanded? We believe in him so much and trust him so much that we would die for him? That's commitment. And that's where we ask the question, are you serious about serving God? Are you serious about having that relationship with God? And you know what? Some people say, whoa, I'm not going to go quite that far. You know what Jesus says? You can't be my disciple then. You can't be. If he's your Lord, then he'll do what he commands, no matter what, no matter what the cost, no matter what happens. This is a serious commitment, and we need to count the cost. We need to commit, and it's only reasonable. Romans 12, it's our reasonable service. A reasonable thing, because Christ died for our sin. He gave his life so that we might live. It's only reasonable that we serve him to be a friend of God and make Jesus Lord of all. And that brings us to our last question. Are we equal with Jesus or is he our king? Equal or king? This goes along with the thought we've just been looking at. Is Jesus an equal because he was human? Jesus is far above us. Look at Galatians 4, verse 5. We've been adopted into the family of God. We are sons and daughters of the king. Praise God for that. But that does not put us on equal footing with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is still the only begotten Son of God. He is to be our Lord and our Master and our King. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This is what we have in salvation as a Christian. We've been adopted in the family of God, but no man is equal with Jesus. Jesus is the King of glory. Will you follow him, or will you be one of those that walked with Jesus no more, that they were offended? You know, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You'd be surprised how many Christians are ashamed of the gospel, how many Christians are ashamed of the teachings of Christ in certain situations when their popularity is at stake. We think too much of ourselves. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. That goes right along with that we're to be a sacrifice for God. We're to sacrifice our life. We're to be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. They may prove was that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. I'm pretty sure I got that. But verse 3, and not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Right next to it. Why is that? Because we have a pride problem. You know what? That we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. You know what? In our society, teaches us that we need to think, have self-esteem. Need to think of ourselves as strong, independent, beautiful people. We're dirty, rotten sinners. Accept it. The sooner you do, the sooner you have victory over sin. It really boils down to this. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? So yes, I believe that. Let me pause that for a moment. That Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Let that sink in. Do we believe that? So yes, Pastor, we believe that. Absolutely. We're in a Baptist church. We believe that. I'm not saying you believe the written down on paper, but believe the reality of it. Do we believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Oh, yes, Pastor, we're in a Baptist church. We've always believed that. Maybe, but have you personally made a decision? That is what you believe. No matter what, no one can convince you otherwise that this is the Word of God. Personally, to the point that someone come up to you and threaten your life and say, I'll take your life away from you if you deny, I'll let you live if you deny that the Bible is the Word of God. And you know how many thousands of people who have died because they would say, no, it is the Word of God and I'll die for it. I would think of a lot of churches in America, you'd have made that kind of choice, I think you'd have probably 75% of people say, nope, I'm not going to. Well, and what do we have today? The critical text and things and say, well, it might contain the Word of God, but I'm not 100% sure. Do we believe it? As a pastor, I believe it. Do you believe that you should follow the Word of God in every way? If you believe it's the Word of God, then it's God's message to you? Well, it's a message to the Christians in that time. No, it's a living, it's quick and powerful, it's living, it's a message to you. To live by its every command. Do you believe that you should follow the Word of God? And, you know, we're clicking up the commitment level here. Well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is His Word. Do you believe you have to follow everything? Well, Pastor, well, everything, because it's God's Word. How do we view it? It's God's Word. Do you believe that your life is in the hands of God? Yes, it is. Well, Pastor, it's in my hands. No, it's not. Your life is in God's hands. You are sitting here drawing another breath because God willed it. That puts our life in a little bit of perspective. That doesn't put us in the driver's seat, does it? God is in control of all things. Therefore, God does he have your life in His hands, meaning that you've given over it all. That whatever He wants you to do, you do it. Do you believe that God has a claim on your life? Now, we talked about reasonable service. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for you. Do you believe He has a claim on your life? Because you're bought with a price. He does. If you believe all these things with all your heart, then you're serious. That brings a commitment about in our heart. If you do not, then you'll turn back from following after the Lord eventually. There'll be something that comes up and you'll forsake Him. You'll turn away. Parents, make sure your children understand these things. Because if you do teach it to them, then they will not turn away from the Lord when the going gets tough. You know, we don't need to protect our kids. Well, you know, we don't need to tell them about the bad things in life. Tell them there's going to be some bad things that happen to them when they're children because they're a Christian. There's going to be some people that say some bad things to them because they're a Christian. Because we follow the Bible. Oh, you're one of those Christian people. I said, yes, I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. Teach your children to stand like that. If you teach them to stand like that, you don't have a whole lot to worry about. Because they know where to stand and stand in the Word of God. But we as Christians, are we standing? If you don't have your commitments done in order, if you're not serious, still turn back like these others did. They were offended in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you offended in Him? So I will never, never deny Jesus. It's usually those who crow the loudest to say they won't that usually do. Because you know why they're saying all that? Because they're trying to convince themselves that they're committed. We should, oh, I'll never turn back. But we should humbly say, Lord, for Thy grace, I will not. I'm committed to You. Humbly. Humbleness. So tonight, are you serious? If not, will you become serious? Are you acquainted with God? Are you saved? So I'm not. I know about Him, but I don't have a relationship with Him. You can be saved tonight. You can begin that relationship tonight. It's no magic words, no hocus pocus, but a simple call from the heart of a penitent sinner, realizing they're a sinner, realizing they're on their way to hell because of their sin, but that Jesus Christ hung on that old rugged cross and shed His blood so that you don't have to die and be judged forever in hell. But how? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Realizing how wicked and terrible your sin is, but calling upon Jesus Christ alone to save you, He will save you tonight. He will save you. He will bring salvation to you tonight. By faith. Not by being good, not by works, but by calling unto Jesus. Will you do that? So, well, Pastor, I'm already saved, but I'm not committed. I have other things going on in my life. I have other things going on in my heart. I need to make a commitment. I'm thinking of turning back. I've made seriously consider turning away from God and say, I'm done with it. Are we committed? Are we serious? Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that You would bless this invitation time. I pray that You would touch hearts. I pray, Lord, that if any under the sound of my voice that they're not saved tonight, I pray they come to You humbly and seek salvation. I pray, dear Lord, that those of us who are saved and we're not committed, we're not serious, we're letting other things interfere. If we let other things interfere, Lord, you said yourself, we cannot be your disciple. We can't follow after you. We'll quit eventually. We'll give up. Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct and help, Lord, and that you would bring your people to yourself. I can't convict of sin. I can't convict of a lack of commitment, but only you can. And only people know in their heart how committed they are. I pray that we not deceive ourselves or flatter ourselves with how committed we are, but Lord, that we would recommit ourselves to being your follower and your disciple. I pray, dear Lord, for those that don't know you, I pray they be saved tonight, realizing their need and having boldness to make a decision about it. I pray that you will bless our time tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.